Do you relate to that man in the Bible that said, I believe, Lord, but help thou my unbelief? Do you think, my faith is so weak, I wish it were stronger? Precious one, listen. Faith is a building, growing exercise. And just the fact that you want a stronger faith is so good. And God has a way to show us how that faith can be strengthened, how that faith can come to maturity. And that's what we're going to look at today. Because what is salvation all about? Salvation is all about this, that you, being declared righteous by God, shall live by faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. But those who come to Him must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. That's what we'll see today. You know, when you talk about salvation, you have to talk about faith. And when you talk about salvation and faith, you want to understand that there is a model. There is a model given to us in the Scriptures in a person who lived by faith, who was saved by faith, who lived by faith, and who pleased God because of his faith. And that man is a man that is known not only by Jews and Gentiles, but by Arabs also. That is Abraham, that great patriarch that we find in the book of Genesis. And it's Abraham and David that God is going to use through the Apostle Paul to show everyone that we are justified, that we are saved, we are declared righteous in the eyes of God, apart from works and apart from circumcision and apart from the law. And all the way through, Abraham is going to be our example. Well, I left you in Romans chapter 4, verse 4. And I just want to take verse 5, where he's talking about Abraham, and summarize his illustration with Abraham, and then move on. So in Romans chapter 4, verse 5, it says, "But to the one who does not work, but believes in him, in God, who justifies," listen, "the ungodly, his faith is reckoned as righteousness." Now, what do we need to mark here? Well, we need to mark justifies, just like we've been marking it before with that black cloud and color it red. Then we need to mark faith, like we've been marking with that open Bible. And then we need to put a red check on reckoned. And then we need to mark righteousness. That's all in one verse, okay? But you want to get those words marked, because this is a loaded verse. It says, to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the what? The ungodly. God justifies us when we are ungodly. Now, he's going to bring this home. He's going to bring this home again in Romans chapter 5. So I'm not going to elaborate on it right now. He has proven, though, in Romans 1 through 320, that we're all sinners, that we're all ungodly, that we all, to one degree or another, or in one way or another, have suppressed the truth of God by our unrighteousness. So he has established all under sin. So we're all ungodly. But it's the ungodly that he justifies. But he can't justify them through their works, because their works are useless, because they're not works of faith. So he justifies the ungodly. When you believe that, then your faith is reckoned. It's put to your account as righteousness. In other words, God cancels out the debt. And on the ledger of his books, he writes justified. Righteousness has been imputed. Righteousness has been reckoned. Righteousness is put to his or her account. you're declared righteous. You are declared righteous. Now, that does not mean you're perfect, okay? That does not mean that you're not going to sin. But it means that sin is going to be the occasion of your life rather than the habit of your life. Why? Because the Holy Spirit has moved inside of you and taken up residence, and He's going to enable you to live righteously. We're going to see that as we get on into Romans, where He talks in that segment of Romans 6, 7, and 8 about our sanctification. All right, now let me go on. He goes on to say, just as David, so He's going to move from Abraham to David. It's like He's playing basketball, all right? He's going down, He hits Abraham, He pivots now, and so the pivotal verse is verse 5, and now He's throwing the ball to David. Okay? So when He throws the ball to David, this is what He says. Just as David, you say, who's David? David, King David. King David in the Old Testament. You meet him in Samuel, okay? You meet him in the book of Samuel, and there Samuel anoints him to be the king of Israel after Saul, okay? And then God makes a promise to David that, and it's a Davidic covenant, that he will have a descendant that will sit on the throne. And that descendant that's going to sit on the throne and rule the world is Jesus Christ. It says, just as David also speaks of the blessing upon the man to whom God reckons righteousness apart from works. So remember, this is our first segment through verse 8, that it is righteousness apart from works, okay? Or justification apart from works, all right? So you want to mark reckons there with a check. Now, He's going to quote David, all right? He's going to quote what David wrote in Psalm 32. So He says, blessed are those whose lawless deeds have been forgiven and those whose sins have been covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will not take into account. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will not record and take into account. So He's using what David says in Psalm 32 to show that it is apart from works. Now He moves to the next segment. And in this segment, He's going to show that salvation, righteousness, is given to us. We are justified by apart from circumcision. Now, why is He doing this? Well, because the law was a big deal to the Jews, and they thought that by the works of the law they could be justified. And God said, no, no man's justified by the works of the law. So they say, okay, I'm circumcised. So my circumcision then is my ticket to heaven. So He's going to show, no, when was Abraham circumcised, and was it after he believed or before he believed? So watch what He says. Now, if you want to, only if you want to, and I would suggest you do it later because it's going to take too much time. But I mark circumcision in my Bible. The way I mark it is I draw a knife. I just take a red knife like this, and I draw this symbol for circumcision. And so you can do it afterwards, okay? So it says, is this blessing then upon the circumcision or the uncircumcision? Is this blessing of righteousness? Is this blessing of having your sins covered? Is this blessing of not having your sins imputed or put to your account? Is this blessing for the circumcised or the uncircumcised? And He says, for we say faith was reckoned to Abraham as righteousness. How then was it reckoned? Now remember, we're putting a red check over reckoned. How then was it reckoned? While he, Abraham, was circumcised or uncircumcised? How was this put to Abraham's account? Was he circumcised when that happened or uncircumcised? And He says, not while circumcised, but while uncircumcised. And he, Abraham, received the sign of circumcision. Now watch what He says. A seal of the righteousness of faith. In other words, circumcision was a seal. It was something that testified of his righteousness of faith. It's something that you write the letter, you close the letter, you lick the seal, and you put it on the letter. That was a loud clap. Did I hurt your ears? Excuse me. Or you melt the wax, and then you take your signet ring and you put it in the seal, and it says, what's inside has come from me. So what was inside was Abraham has been reckoned as righteousness because Abraham believed me. Then the seal was put, and the seal was circumcision. So this is what he's saying. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith, which he had while uncircumcised, that he, Abraham, might be the father of all who believe without being circumcised, that righteousness might be reckoned to them. Now, this would almost make a Jew go, do you mean that I could be righteous apart from being circumcised? Now, listen very carefully. Under the law, you had to be circumcised. You had to be circumcised. But that circumcision did not guarantee you heaven. What guaranteed you heaven was the fact that you believed that God was the covenant-keeping God that he was, and that the covenant that he made to Abraham, promising Abraham a land, is an everlasting possession, and it is current-day Israel and more, part of Syria, part of Jordan, and a little bit of Egypt is what God promised him. That God promised him a land, and God promised him descendants like the stars of the sky and the heavens and the sand at the seashore, and that Messiah would come from them. And that through Abraham, all the families of the earth would be blessed. That was an act of faith. Listen to me very carefully. Salvation has never been any other way but by faith. It's always been by faith from the very, very beginning. From Adam and Eve's sin all the way through, it's always been by faith. The law was added to show us our sin. Circumcision was given to the Jews as a sign of the covenant. Now, in this day, in this time, since Messiah has come, since Messiah has been born, since Messiah has been crucified, since Messiah has been buried, since Messiah has been resurrected from the dead, since Messiah has ascended into heaven, whether you're circumcised or uncircumcised makes no difference whatsoever, because salvation is by faith, apart from works and apart from circumcision. And apart, we're going to see, from the law. So this is what he is showing us here. So now let me read it to you, verse 12, and we'll bring this part to a conclusion. And the father of circumcision, that Abraham is the father of all who believe without being circumcised, that righteousness might be reckoned to them, and the father of the circumcision to those who are not only of the circumcision, but who also follow in the steps of the faith of our father Abraham, which he had while still uncircumcised. Do you know what he just did? He just made it very clear that circumcision, apart from faith, is not going to get you anywhere, except it's going to make you sore and unable to walk for a few days. That's all. That's all. That's all it's going to be. If there's no faith to go with that circumcision, then that circumcision is absolutely worthless. And this is what he just said. Let me read it to you again. Verse 12. And the father, he is the father of the uncircumcised because of faith. He's the father of circumcision to those who are not only of the circumcision, but who also, here's the qualifying statement, but who also follow in the steps of faith of our father Abraham while he had, while still uncircumcised. God spoke to Abraham. God made a covenant with Abraham. God made a promise to Abraham, and Abraham believed it. And that's walking in the steps of faith. We'll talk about it more when we come back. Now that Paul has explained that righteousness is reckoned to our account, it's imputed to us, we're justified by faith apart from works and apart from circumcision, now he's on third base. He's made first, he's made second, now he's got to make third. And third base is apart from the law. So listen to what he says in verse 13. For the promise to Abraham, or to his descendants, that he would be the heir of the world, was not through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. You see, Abraham was promised a Messiah. Abraham was promised that Messiah was going to come through him. And that Messiah would regain the world that was lost by Adam and Eve in the garden, when they listened to the lie of the serpent. So the Messiah would come and the Messiah would rule over the world, and we would be resurrected and we would rule and reign with him. And Father Abraham is going to be resurrected and he is going to rule and reign. And Jesus is going to be the king over all the earth. All right. Now, so it says, if those who are of the law are heirs, then faith is made void and the promise is nullified. For the law brings about wrath. But where there is no law, neither is there violation. Now, we saw in Romans chapter 2, verse 12, that when we don't have a law, or we don't have a law in our hearts or an external law, God doesn't hold us guilty for breaking the law. But now watch what he says. For the law brings about wrath. But where there is no law, neither is there any violation, because God is just and God is fair. For this reason, it is by faith that it might be in accordance with grace. See, faith and grace go together. Law and grace are opposites. In order that the promise might be certain to all the descendants, not only to those who are of the law, which would be the Jews, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, the father of us all. In other words, this salvation is not, it's to the Jew first. The gospel is to the Jew first, but it's also to the Greek. It's also to the Gentile. So if salvation, if righteousness is imputed to our account by us having anything to do with the law, then what about all those that don't know the law? Then they're outside of salvation. So he says, no, that cannot be. He says, let me read it again. For this reason, it is by faith that it might be in accordance with grace, in order that the promise may be certain to all the descendants, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are the faith of Abraham, who is father of us all, as it is written. And this is what I read to you from Genesis. A father of many nations, I made you. A father of many nations, I made you. It says, in the sight of him whom he believed, even God, who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist. All right. Now, what I want you to see is he's going to show Abraham's faith again. And as we look at Abraham's faith, we're going to see that Abraham's faith is begun in verse 17 to 18. Just write this down. Then in verse 19, Abraham's faith is tested. Then in verse 20, Abraham's faith is strengthened. Then in verse 21, Abraham's faith is perfected or matured. Perfected, I mean matured. In other words, it's a growing faith. It grows up, it develops, and it develops because it's tested. And when it's tested, it meets the test, and so it's strengthened. And then in verse 22, that faith is rewarded. And then in verse 23 and 25, that faith is witnessed by others. Now, this is the way it ought to be with us. So let me read about Abraham, and then you'll see how it can be applied to your own life. All right? He's talking about God, and God promised him that he would be the father of many nations. Now, listen, he's going to be the father of many nations, but his wife can't even get pregnant. She can't even get pregnant. In fact, she doesn't get pregnant until she is 90 years old, and Abraham is 100 years old. So not until then. And God makes him the promise that he's going to be a father of many nations when he's 75 and Sarah is 65. Now, you got to remember, they lived longer in those days. All right. So Abraham has to wait 25 years for Sarah to finally say, Abraham, I can't believe it. Can an old woman have joy? Can an old woman nurse? Oh, Abraham, we're going to have a child. We're going to have a child. Now listen, to faith beginning, faith being tested, faith being strengthened. Listen as I read. In verse 18, it says, in hope against hope, he believed. In hope against hope, he believed in order that he might become the father of many nations according to what had been spoken. So shall your descendants, so shall your seed be. And without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body now as good as dead since he was 100 years old. Now, where are you going to find that account? You're going to find that account in Genesis chapter 17. And so you can go to Genesis chapter 17 after the program's over, and you can read about it. It's near the end of the chapter, all right? So without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, and he said, God, you have just told me that Sarah's going to have a son at this time next year. God, I'm 100 years old. Sarah is 90 years old. God, there's no way. I'm impotent by now. And so he looked at himself. He looked at the situation, but it did not weaken his faith because in hope against hope, he believed God. And without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Yet, with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief. Listen, this is the way your faith grows. You get a hold of the Word of God and you hang on to it for dear life. You believe that God is, that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. And you tell Him that you know that without faith it's impossible to please Him, and you're going to believe Him. And so with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but he grew strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully assured that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. Now, this is the key. Listen, if God promises it, God is able to perform it, and all you need to do is believe. Therefore, it was reckoned, put to his account as righteousness now. Not for his sake only was it written that it was reckoned to him, put a red check there, but for your sakes also. This was for your sake. Everything that Abraham went through, those long 25 years studying his life, and we have a precept course that teaches you how to do that, or we have workshops on Abraham that you can come to and you will learn so very much. And what you're going to see is that Abraham's life is a witness and a testimony to you for our sake, to whom it will be reckoned as those who believe in him who raised Jesus from the dead. He, Jesus, was delivered up because of our transgressions, and he was raised up because of our justification. God looked at the offering of Jesus Christ. God looked at the blood of Jesus Christ, and God said, "My holiness is propitiated. I am satisfied. Bring my son and resurrect him from the dead. The grave shall not have victory." Now listen, Abraham believed God. Abraham grew in faith. Abraham could look at situations as they were and then just turn his eyes upward to heaven and say, "God, you promised, and you're God, and nothing is impossible with you. And I will believe you. I will cling to you as the waistband clings to the waist of a man, that I might be a man for praise and renown and honor and glory." God, I see it's all by faith. It's apart from works. It's apart from circumcision. It is apart from the law. It is by faith. And I will believe. And Lord, just grow me up in this life of faith. Let me know that without faith, it is impossible to please you. I'm going to believe that you are going to reward me because I am seeking you with all my heart.
This series covers the first 5 chapters of Romans. Continue your study with experiencing the power of life-changing faith. Engage in God's Word at your own pace, or you can use the study questions in a group so you can study alongside others. Visit preceptsforlife.com or call 1-800-763-1990 to take your next step in understanding God's Word.
Thank you for watching today. All the programs you see on Precepts for Life are available on CD and DVD. To order your copy of today's program, log on to our website at preceptsforlife.com. To download your free copy of the study guide or to find out more about Precept Ministries International, click on our website or call us today at 1-800-763-1990. Join us for our next program as Kay shares more Precepts for Life.